Good evening, everyone. This is the fourth podcast of the Gallery of the Mind. I am your host and writer, Walter Pierce. I know that you are probably a bit surprised that there is another podcast at this time. I usually put one out on the 10th of each month. But I received an anonymous request or requests from someone out there to put out another podcast. It made me feel good that someone out there enjoys my work. I can see that I have one follower and a few listeners, but I do not know if they are returning listeners or just casually checking out different podcasts. So thank you to the person or persons that requested the new podcast. I dedicate this episode to you. I will not be able to do this every time, though. If I released a 30-minute podcast every week, I would run out of material very quickly, and the podcast would die. My vision is to have other people out there join in with their imagination, whether it be by sending in voice recordings of their stories or by telling me what they imagine as they step into the pictures. This could really be a fun way to just get away from it all. So please, join in. Well, let me get off my soapbox. Here is the entire A Backwards 2. You find yourself in an alley, looking at a picture on the wall. It is a simple plain white canvas with a Backwards 2 painted on it. You wonder what it could mean.
A Backwards 2. This story begins with a stranger on a bus, one who sat there staring out of a window. He was prone to staring, always lost in thought, always thinking ahead. He was one with such heavy burdens. He had so many things to hide, so many things, including his name. But now he was on vacation. He had a little time to get away from it all. He found himself on this bus headed into a little town. A little town named Deville. The name of the town was a little odd for those who didn't know its history. The town was named by a French priest. Actually, he founded two towns, and this was the second. Some think that he put D on the name because it was the second town he founded. Yes, some think that, but they are wrong. It was a tribute to the fact that the town sat between two rivers. The rivers rushed cool before the drought, and the priest always felt that they were special. He loved to stand beside them and stare at the flowing water, lost in thought. That's why he rallied the settlers to push the Indians off this land. That's why the rivers briefly ran red. Yes, many Indians were slaughtered in this vicious fight for this land, but a God-fearing town arose from this. This was the crusading priest's pleasure. This was his paradise between two rivers. And that's why he named it so. To the people here, the name of the town didn't really matter. The people here were generally happy, and that's what matters. There were several ways to come to the tiny town, even though it was small and out in the middle of nowhere. It was a country town, whose only bad point seemed to be that it was too hot and dry due to a drought. The people were so spread out that it was almost hard to call it a town, even though everyone was connected through genuine friendliness. Everyone knew everyone's name, and everyone knew that names didn't matter. You may believe that's why the stranger was drawn here. You may think that, but you would be wrong. In fact, he came to tell his name. He came to tell his name to the priest of the town. It was an odd mission for a man, but this was not a man. He was so much more and so much less. He was forever known as Satan. In the little town, there is a church and a little house next to it. The little house belongs to Father Lambert and his 14-year-old daughter, Amanda.
Amanda, what time is it?
It's almost 2. Here is your tea, Father.
Oh, thank you. Did you sweep out the church yet?
I'm going there now.
I'll come too, after I finish my tea.
Amanda goes to the front door and opens it. She is startled to see a man just standing there in front of the door. Oh, I'm sorry you startled me.
I'm here to see your father.
Father, there's a man here to see you.
Please send him in.
Come on in and have a seat. I'll get you a cup if you'd like some tea.
That would be nice.
The priest stands to shake hands with Satan as he enters the kitchen.
Hi, I'm Father Lambert. Oh, well, you know my name. Do I know you? Well, you think that you do. Who are you?
I'm a kindred spirit.
What?
Amanda comes to the table with a cup. I'm sorry, but the handle is broken off of this cup. But this is the only one we have.
It is fine. Thank you, Amanda.
How did you know my name?
Oh, I remember the day you were born.
You must be an old friend of my father's. Father Lambert is silent. Well, I'm going to the church and sweep. Amanda leaves. The priest and Satan sit.
So, who are you?
Before I answer that, let me tell you who you are.
The priest looks perplexed.
You are a fair man. A man that I can talk to. I need a friend. I need a kindred spirit.
Son, I will help you in any way that I can.
I knew that you'd say that. You are a good man. Just like Job.
Son, what are you talking about?
People don't understand you. You have such an optimism. It's an optimism that I have rarely come across. People don't understand that. You would try to help anyone without caring about yourself. Your ideas would be considered passé these days. You're just a backwards country priest.
Now, calm down, son, calm down.
People don't understand me either. I'm considered evil, but I'm not. People won't give me a chance. They just don't understand me. They don't understand us. We're just backwards to them. We are a backwards too.
Son, what is your name?
I've come to tell you my name. But first I have to remind you of the 3 rules that you live by. The 3 rules brought me to you. The rules. There is good in everything. Good can transform evil. Sometimes the highest good seems evil at first.
Yes? You are so optimistic.
My name is... I have 2 letters for you. The first letter will explain the questions you have about me. This other letter is the last letter that I will give you. I'm afraid that I will not have a chance to give it to you. Do not open it yet. It is to be my last communication to you. I will take my leave now.
Satan drops the envelopes on the table. Then he turns and heads for the door.
What is your name?
I am Satan, but you can call me the devil if you like.
The priest freezes. Maybe it was an angel whispering in the priest's ear, or just a priest's innate ability to discern the truth. But he knew the incredulous words were true. He didn't open the letters that Satan had left him. He spent most of the day in prayer. He only stopped praying at supper time. He was affected by the meeting and just could not console himself. He hadn't told anyone that day what had happened. And so did the day end. The next morning, The priest arrived at breakfast, disheveled. The night had not been kind to the priest, and sleep was an angel that didn't visit that night. He sat there at breakfast, wondering why Satan had come to him. Daddy, what's wrong?
There's nothing wrong, dear.
Yesterday, you acted so strange. I didn't ask then, but I can't stand to see you like this. It reminds me of when Mother died. Amanda's words were maybe the only words that could have been said to shake the priest out of his dream world of dread. He looks at Amanda, and the subject of his thoughts completely change. His wife died when Amanda was a child of 8. Her mother's death hurt her so much. It hurt both of them, each in their own way. Amanda was so distraught that she never really recovered. She is emotionally unstable, prone to wild swings in emotion. Her father tried to reach out to her, but he couldn't. They were never close. Her mother always took care of Amanda. Father Lambert was always so busy in those days, he never got to really be close to her. Now he longs to reach out to her, but can't. He so wishes that she would let him closer. He loves her. She is the one thing that touches his heart more than anything else. He knows that she silently blames him for not giving her the attention that she should have. You started acting strangely after that man left yesterday. Did he say something to you?
Nothing that concerns you.
He did say some things to me. The priest looks up from his plate, directly at Amanda.
What did he say?
I'll tell you if you tell me.
That man is unholy. Don't go near him. He thinks that he is Satan.
He is. There is silence. The priest assesses the situation.
And how do you know that?
Did you read the letter he left?
No, but that is not my question. How do you know that he is Satan?
He told me.
Before he left?
No, when he came back. The father goes flush.
What?
I couldn't sleep well last night. It was so hot inside. I woke up at about 2 a.m. and decided to go sit on the porch. It was so strange. When I came onto the porch, I saw him standing there in the moonlight. He was just standing there staring at the church. I stood there watching him, and I felt so sad. I felt so sad for him. The priest just looks on. I felt compelled to say something to him. I walked over to him, and he asked me to go for a walk. I don't know why, but I decided to walk with him. We walked a bit, and he explained that he was good, even though he was Satan. He was a servant of God.
Did he harm you?
No. We just walked and talked. He just wanted me to remind you to read the letter.
Reach me my glasses.
Where are they?
I think I put them near the couch.
Amanda searches but does not find them. I'll read the letter to you. Where is it?
Over there.
There are two letters here.
I know. He left a letter for now and a letter he said that he would be his last letter to me. The one on top is the letter he wishes me to read.
Amanda opens the letter and prepares to read as Father Lambert whispers to himself.
Why did you come here?
I have told you that I came because I need someone to confide in. You are like me. The world doesn't understand us.
I am nothing like him. I was not cast out from heaven.
Oh, but I was not cast from heaven either. You are thinking of the angel of the morning, Lucifer. I am not him. I am the adversary of God.
The adversary of God?
I am that which opposes God. I only assume the job God has given me. My actions seem evil, but they make souls strong. Without me, there would be no growth of the soul. I test and temper like fire. I am hated and ridiculed, but I only help. The burden God has given me is a heavy one, but I will persevere.
Satan is a liar. He does nothing but evil.
I do not. When someone breaks a bone, the bone mends itself and becomes stronger. The trauma made the bone stronger. I am the trauma that takes you to God. I am a priest. We are the same.
Oh, and how can I trust your words?
You must trust me by the three rules you live by. Must I list them? Number one, there is good in everything. Everything includes me. Number two, good can transform evil. I transform souls from imperfection to perfection. Number three, sometimes the highest good may seem evil. I am a living example of this. I know that you have integrity. You must believe me. If you truly believe those words, then you must believe me. You must give me the chance to open myself to you. You must give me the chance to have a friend. It is only every few hundred years or so that I am freed from my obligations. As Amanda yells the words, the priest realizes that a dialogue has been going on.
What else does the letter say?
It ends there.
How could he have known every question that I was going to ask?
Because he is Satan. The distrust and concern can be seen in the priest's eyes.
What should I do?
There is another letter.
I know, but he said not to read it yet. This is the last letter, the letter that he will not be able to deliver.
Why won't he be able to deliver it? We should read it now. If he anticipated your questions, then maybe the last letter anticipates questions you will have at that time. We can see your frame of mind in the future. It may give some hint as to what we should do from now.
Read the letter.
Amanda opens the letter. There's nothing here. It's blank. What could that mean?
Maybe the writing will be there in the future. Maybe the future isn't set yet, so there's nothing on the paper.
Wow. That would explain why it is not to be read now. This is too weird.
Hold the paper back up so it looks unread.
As Amanda folds the letter, there is a sharp knock on the door. Amanda and Father Lambert freeze. I'll get it.
No, I'll get it.
The priest makes his way to the front door, as again there is a hard rapping at the door.
Who is it?
Father, please, I must speak with you.
Father Lambert opens the door to see two of his longtime absent parishioners. A man named Joseph and his wife, Charlotte. Joseph's face is red, so Father Lambert can tell Joseph is distressed.
For a man so newly married, you don't look very happy.
Please pray for me, Father. Please pray for me.
What's wrong?
Last night, my animals started acting crazy, making all kinds of noise. I could feel an evil in the air. I could tell it was just plain unnatural. I went outside and heard. I heard the words. I am Satan. I swear, Father. Oh, excuse me. Oh, Father. And my barn burst into flames. It was horrible. I lost the whole barn and my two horses. I fought the fire with all I had, but I wasn't able to save the barn or the horses.
Joseph and his wife are nearly hysterical. Father Lambert counsels them for most of the morning. Finally, in the afternoon, they leave. Father Lambert bids them farewell and closes the door. As he does, he hears sobbing coming from his daughter's room. So he makes his way to her room.
What's the matter, honey?
They were so sad. I could just feel their sadness and fear. Losing the barn and the horses really hurt them. I thought that it was good. I thought that it was good.
Amanda, what are you talking about?
I burned down the barn.
Amanda, why?
I don't know. no. He told me that it was good. Father Lambert doesn't have to ask who told her, but he does.
Who told you this? Who told you that lie?
Satan did. Father Lambert feels his anger rise.
Oh, I wish that beast were here.
There is a violent rapping on the door, and for a moment the father regrets his words. He goes to the door and opens it to see a sad but handsome Satan standing there.
How dare you come here?
I've come to straighten out a misunderstanding.
There is no misunderstanding. My daughter told me that you put her up to burning down Joseph's barn.
There is a misunderstanding.
Do you deny it, then?
No, I do not.
Father Lambert begins to pray. He prays for Satan to leave.
You don't have to do that. I will leave? I just wanted to give you this letter.
Satan holds out the letter, and the priest lets it fall to the ground.
Sometimes the highest good seems like evil. That's rule number 3. Why don't you follow your own rules?
Satan bows his head and sadly leaves. A sad loneliness seems to follow him. The priest watches as Satan walks away and seems to just disappear. Father Lambert reaches down and picks up the letter. He heads toward the kitchen, stopping only momentarily to listen to the gentle sobbing of his daughter. As he continues to the kitchen, he sees his glasses next to the clock, which says 2:10.
Why always 2?
The priest opens the letter and sees the words. 2 is my number. It is the number of love. It is the number needed for creation.
That still does not explain why you had a man's livelihood destroyed.
The priest continues to read.
I didn't destroy his livelihood. I gave him freedom. He's been wanting to travel and enjoy his life a bit. Oh, I can understand his feelings. His barn and his horses are insured. They are insured for much more than they are worth. An insurance salesman thought that he had gotten the best of Joseph. He overinsured him to get the high monthly payments. But now the honest Joseph will be paid so he can have the dream he wanted. He's gotten married again at a late age. He is looking to enjoy his final years, and now he can. What I did seemed evil, but it was good.
You also scared the living daylights out of him.
The letter continues.
A little fear was good for him. It drove him to you and to God. You could not get him to come to you, but I could. My actions transformed him. Is not that your rule number 2?
I guess you're right.
The father looks and sees that there is a little more writing.
Please explain to Amanda. Please tell her how good her actions were. I care about her and showed her that I was not evil in only way that I could. I do things a little backwards. I am backwards just like you.
The words seemed to stick with the priest. He actually started to go explain Satan's reasons to Amanda, but then he stopped himself. He realized how truly tired he was. The lack of sleep, the strain of consoling his parishioners the entire morning, and the sheer strain caused by the bizarreness of the past day and a half all seemed to hit him at once. So he went to his room to lay down for a few minutes. The minutes turned into the rest of the day. He was awoken by the sound of his front door closing. It was Amanda returning home.
What time is it?
It's about 2:45 in the morning.
2:45? Where have you been all night?
That's my concern.
What did you say to me? Don't talk to me like that. I'm your father.
Why didn't you explain about the barn? I saw the letter. You didn't care that I was in pain. You didn't care. I'm your daughter, and you didn't care. You only see things the way you want to see them. You are so unfair. You have always been unfair to me. Father Lambert grabs Amanda.
You will not talk to me that way.
Is the truth too hard for you? You always pass your rigid judgments. You claim to be so fair-minded and optimistic, but you aren't. You are controlled by rules and what you believe. You're the reason Mom died. You changed when you became a priest. She couldn't take all the stress from your new life. She couldn't take all of your holier-than-thou crap. Father Lambert slaps Amanda. I hate you!
Where have you been all night?
I haven't been anywhere all night. I've only been out for about 50 minutes. Amanda goes to her room crying. Father Lambert sits on the couch and puts his head in his hands. And that's how he again falls asleep. The next day, Amanda and her father spoke to each other, but not really. The next day was busy because it was Saturday. Tomorrow, they would be holding services in the church. The day seemed like any other busy Saturday, but somehow, it was different. Father Lambert kept watching the clock. When 2 p.m. came around, he half expected Satan to come walking into the church, but he did not. The priest looked out the thin glass windows of the church to make sure that Satan was not there. In the distance, leaning against a tree, he saw a figure staring in the direction of the church, but he could not be sure whether that was Satan or not. That night, the dinner was cold, even though the food was warm, and it was silent, even though the voices were so loud in Father Lambert's head. Then near the end of dinner, Amanda stood up and made an announcement. I stabbed a man last night. Father Lambert sits back in his chair, but doesn't say a word. I enjoyed it, too.
Amanda.
Because I stabbed him, he went to the hospital where they found that he had some type of virus. He would have died from that virus had he not went to the hospital that night. Amanda then promptly exits the house. Amanda doesn't come back that night. Father Lambert tries to stay up and wait for her. He constantly thinks about 2 a.m. He anxiously waits that hour, wondering if anything will happen. His daughter and the number two constantly run through his mind. At 2 a.m., many things begin to happen. One of them is the gentle rain that lulls the priest to sleep. It is a sleep that can only be described as a nightmare. Father Lambert finds himself in a clearing in the woods. There he sees Amanda and Satan. Look at the rain, Father. The father hears the sound of the rain, but doesn't see any. Satan taught me to bring the rain.
Black magic? It's evil.
Father, you just can't see good. You don't understand anything.
What you are doing is unnatural. It is against the will of God.
God's will doesn't matter. I can bring good on my own. My will is what matters. I can make myself happy only by being free. I have free will and will use it.
Satan, have you done this?
He hasn't done anything but opened my eyes to the world.
Why don't you go get ready? I want to talk to your father.
Amanda smiles slyly and walks off.
If you harm her, oh, what will you do? Pray? You haven't done much of that since I've been here. Maybe you know that I'm right. Or maybe you believe rule number one. What have you done to Amanda? I haven't done anything. You've taught her black magic. Yes. So that she may bring rain to a town stricken by drought. Look at how dry the rivers are now. My way may not seem correct to you, but it is the way that will advance the all. It is my nature and personality. It is my way. Again, I have to say that. It may seem backwards. But Amanda understands. She understands the number two. Two is the number of love. Backwards, it is the number of opposition. It is that which opposes the one. It opposes the will of God. It is the number of war, a war against God.
Satan's eyes begin to blaze a fiery red.
There is beauty in pain and hatred. there is a light in the twisted that few ever see. It is not evil. It is just not understood. You're insane, and you are confused. You're right.
Satan stops and stares at Father Lambert. Satan seems to be trying to probe Father Lambert's mind, but he cannot.
What do you mean? You are right. One should use one's free will without regard to God's will. Don't play games with me. I was playing games of deceit when God was young. No, I finally understand. You bring good in your own way. You have proven that you are right. You even get a little pleasure to bring the good.
Satan laughs.
You burned down the barn. Wasn't that fun? Oh, yes, it was. The fire searing the flesh of the horses. Yes. The innocent animals screaming in the night. Yes.
Satan salivates as he remembers.
The fear you put into Joseph? It was so intoxicating.
Satan pants from excitement.
The pleasure you got. That was the reason you did it, wasn't it? Yes, Father, yes.
Satan gasps from exasperation as he speaks.
The man that was stabbed. You enjoyed his pain. You enjoyed the fear that ran through his veins. So what if good was the result? Yes, yes. You are so close now. You are so close. But I reject your way.
The words bring Satan off his high. There almost seems to be remorse in his eyes as he calmly reminisces.
When I was much younger, Father, I came into a garden named Eden. It was a paradise between rivers. Man was there. They were happy but weak and naive in their beautiful garden. I changed things. I showed God their weakness and opened the way for them to become wise. From then on, I performed my sacred duty. Is that evil? I do good. I should have had the garden. Shouldn't I have a paradise? Don't I deserve one?
Satan yells his final sentence. Then he falls to his knees before the priest, crying. Tears flow from his oddly dark eyes.
Is that evil? Am I evil? Yes.
Satan's countenance changes. There is a cold anger in his air.
You have failed to get me to believe you are good or to trust you. I never thought that I could. The game is fun. I failed with Job, but I was allowed to give him pain. Pain that still sends shivers over me. You have done your worst. You've had your fun, now leave. My time is nearly up, but my fun isn't. You are so close, but you don't understand everything yet. That is my final pleasure. Why did I come to you? Why did I, when I knew that I could not fool you? You have answered that. It was for the pleasure. You still don't know the half of it. Go and read my last letter. I cannot deliver it to you because my time is up.
With those words, the priest awakens abruptly. He expects to see the familiar walls of his house, but he doesn't. He finds that he is in the clearing of the woods. It is odd, but the only thing he can think of is getting home to see the final letter. Amanda had said that it was blank, but she may have lied, or maybe it had changed. The priest sloshes through the wet mud of the woods. The rain was still falling, but he tried not to pay it any attention. He had only one thing on his mind, and that was to get home. That is why he slipped. Falling to the mud, he finally noticed that it had been raining for quite some time. As he stood, he saw that the rainwater reached above his ankles. Bewildered, the priest stood there in the water. He was unsure of which way to go. The rain was coming down hard now and was disorientating him. As he stood there, he whispered his prayers. His heart was racing, and all he could do was stand there pleading to God. His prayers seemed to lull him into another world. It was a world that was safe and peaceful. The sound of a truck ripped into his world, and with that, he knew which way to go to get to the road. He ran as fast as he could to reach the road before the truck passed, but unfortunately, he did not make it. Luckily, a second wand followed close behind, and the priest was able to flag it down.
How far are you going, Father?
Father Lambert checks the highway signs and figures out just where he is.
I need to go about 3 more exits.
No problem. If you don't mind my asking, what's a holy man like you doing out on a morning like this?
Saving the world from evil.
The truck driver chuckles. The exhausted priest doesn't really even notice as he puts his head back and rests.
There sure is a lot of evil in the world to save us from. Can one little priest do it all?
No.
The way the priest answers is so odd that the truck driver starts to wonder about his newfound passenger's sanity.
I guess the first thing you should do is save us all from this rain.
The father shuts his eyes and doesn't answer. The truck driver doesn't catch the hint and continues to talk.
It's a funny thing about the rain. It can seem like your friend at first, then and completely turns on you.
The priest opens his eyes slightly.
What do you mean? You know how dry it's been around these parts lately? Everyone wanted rain, and now we're getting too much. There are flash floods all over this area. A blessing has turned into a curse.
Nature is a work of God. Don't blaspheme it.
This storm is the work of the devil.
I know.
Again, the truck driver is taken aback by the strange way in which the father answers.
Yeah, this storm is pure evil. What'd you hear about that guy over in Central City?
What guy?
The guy over in Central City that admitted himself to the hospital because of stab wounds? It's all over the news this morning.
No.
This is so odd. The guy gets stabbed and goes to the hospital. Then they found out he's got some kind of virus. They identify it kind of quickly and see that it's something akin to bubonic plague. This guy is pretty much a bum and he lived in filth.
Yeah, he would have died if he hadn't come in.
Yes, but most of the hospital would have been better off if he hadn't.
What?
The hospital wasn't ready for such a big-name virus. They tried to quarantine him and a few other folks that had come in contact with. But that was when this crazy storm hit. Power got knocked out, and everything's a little crazy there now. They started running on backup power, and that seemed to be the solution. But, as luck would have it, the room housing the backup generators took roof damage. Now it's raining in the generator room. Not just raining, flooding. The news caught wind of the things happening and rushed down there. Some of the hospital systems were failing, and some areas of the roof damaged. They had to move patients all around. It was pure chaos. They're trying to sort out who came in contact with who. Some of the reporters are being told they gotta stay at the hospital because they may have come into contact with someone who came into contact with someone else. It's such a mess, it's just unbelievable.
Father Lambert begins to mumble to himself.
He taught my daughter evil magic, but brought good that turned out evil. She stabbed a man which saved his life, but later caused chaos. At first it seemed evil, then it seemed good, then it turns evil again. Always it switches twice.
What are you talking about?
Nothing.
This time, the truck driver does shut up. They continue their drive in silence. Only nature and the sound of tires breaking water accompanied them to their destination.
Here comes the exit. I'll take the exit and let you out, and then I'll get back on the highway. I can't leave you on the side of the highway in a storm like this.
God bless you, son.
The truck driver lets the father off in front of an old diner. The diner had been there for years. It was one of the most popular places in town. Their flapjacks were described as being a taste of heaven. People often ate there when they arrived in town or when they left the town because the bus station was right across the street and because of the flapjacks.
I'm sorry I can't take you any further.
You've done me a great service.
The truck driver nods his head and heads off. The priest watches the truck drive away a bit. Then his vision focuses on the bus leaving town behind the truck. It gives him such a strange feeling. Again, the priest falls into his own little world, and again, he is disturbed out of it.
Hey, Father, you okay?
Mark was another of Father Lambert's parishioners. The father and Mark actually often worked together. You see, Mark was the town undertaker.
Father, you're just standing out in the rain. Oh, I'm just a little bit out of it this morning. Yes, the whole town's a bit shaken this morning. You know, news travels fast here. Come on, I'll give you a ride if you're headed back to your church. Yes, thank you.
They both make their way over to Mark's car. Mark has a large, nice car. Mark is probably the wealthiest man in town, which really wasn't all that wealthy. He is a heavy-set man. His jeans and his love of food saw to that. And so he needs a large car. His car is nice with leather seats. It's very well taken care of, even in a little town like this. Father Lambert cleans his feet as best he can before getting into the car.
I'm sorry, my shoes are so muddy. Oh, I'm having the car cleaned later today anyway. If this rainstorm ever clears up, yes. It's causing a lot of trouble at the hospital down in Central City. We're lucky God has seen fit to spare us the brunt of this storm. No, I just wish he could have spared Joseph and Charlotte. I love those two people's father. Yeah, I know Joe wasn't perfect, but he had a good heart at his core, and they were both such good folk. What happened to Joseph and Charlotte?
The tears well up in Mark's eyes.
Oh, you didn't hear? I hate to think of it. Remember that fire that occurred at his farm a few nights back? Yes? Well, the events of that night were such a strain on poor Joe. His heart condition started acting up again after that night. Must have been acting up again last night, because why else would Charlotte...
Mark breaks down and begins to cry. His fat cheeks flapped as he released his pent-up feelings.
Why else would she what? Why else would she try to drive on a night like last night? I didn't know Charlotte could drive. She always rode those horses when she wanted to go anywhere by herself. She couldn't drive. We found her and Joe rolled over in a ditch. She bled to death trapped in the car. Joe appeared to have died from a heart attack. My God. Can you imagine how horrible that must have been for them? Her husband dying of a heart attack and her trying to drive him to a hospital on those dirt roads? Why did it have to rain last night? If only those horses hadn't died in the fire, it's just horrible.
The priest is speechless with remorse.
Things seemed like they were actually going to turn around for them. They were so excited and they were going to receive that insurance check. Who could have known they wouldn't live long enough to see it? Only God, I guess. There may have been one other.
Mark catches the odd answer but does not understand it. He doesn't have a chance to satiate his curiosity, though as they arrive at the priest's house.
Could I come in for a moment? I'm really shaken. Please, come in, have a cup of tea. But you will have to excuse me a moment. I have a pressing letter that must be read.
They go into the house, and the priest starts the water boiling. He quickly finds the letter and begins to search for his glasses. Mark has a seat at the table and quietly watches.
Now where did I put my glasses? Do you think that Joseph went to heaven? I'm sure he did. God loves us. But why didn't he protect Joseph? Everything has its time. It was just Joseph's time to go. Remember, you used to say that there was good in everything. I can't find my glasses. Is there really good in everything? What is the good in their deaths? I can never find my glasses. Father, do you still believe that?
Father Lambert pauses for a moment.
Starting today? No. Well, I can read the letter to you.
Mark reaches for the letter and opens it. The priest is again in his own world.
I thought those three rules could cover everything. I was wrong.
What rule is it that covers Satan? Father? What rule is it that would explain why a creature would come and bring such evil to a happy place like this? Or why it would take my daughter?
The priest yells and pounds his fist onto the table.
Father, the letter's blank, but here are your glasses.
Father Lambert takes the glasses and glances at the letter. The paper is blank, except for a squiggle where it appeared that someone began to write and decided against it. Father Lambert goes flush and begins to cry.
Father? Father, are you okay? My daughter is the reason he came. What? The letter is not blank. There is a backwards too.
There is a little town named DeVille. The name sounds a bit odd. Some say that it was named after the devil. Some say that, but they are wrong. It was named by him. In this little town, there is a priest. The people say that he just isn't as good as he used to be. His daughter was led away from him by one who knew that names mattered. The priest thinks that his daughter was the only target, but he is wrong.